Same as the first?
This is the third time in less than 24 hours that I'm introducing Rabbi Spiro. And based on the turnout, I think he should consider taking me on the road. Let me just open by thanking those that have contributed so much in time, resources, to the weekend, which really touches on what I'd like to say before Rabbi Spiro grabs the podium for me again. First of all, I'd like to give a yisher koyach specifically to the board for bringing Rabbi Spiro in, and to those individuals whose names I'll quickly read off, who were outstanding in coming forward and making this weekend possible. Yosef Knopf, Yitz Knopf, Archie Schupp, Ben Weinschneider, the Kunays, Morty Polstein, Ellie Meistel, Rabbi Dov Reese, Effie Bronstein, Mo Friedman, Aaron Stempel, David Rosenberg, Eitan Zefrin, Shmuley Aronin, and Mrs. Ruchama Siegel and Shlomi Gross. If I've omitted anyone, please excuse me. Just add it to the list of things that you want to speak to me after Shacharis tomorrow for. Just a short vart. The Rishonim ask. Sorry. And of course, I'm sorry. Right. Thank you. Which is what I like to touch on, but Moshe Siegel has I see that his shver just walked in. Let me say that Moshe Siegel has distinguished himself through this weekend as being a party organizer, I'm not sure he's going to be moonlighting to do this, but the way the chachma and the grace which he's displayed and the organizational skills which he's displayed should hold him in good stead and be able to allow him to channel his koichus for the tzibur. Thank you. The Rishonim ask that it would seem that we see that Yosef takes the initiative to discuss the Chaloimus with his brothers, with the Shvatim, and they ask that it would seem not to be the best judgment, seeing that that Yosef had discerned that his brothers were not affectionate of him and not affectionate of his plans. So then why did he take the initiative to discuss his chaloimus? And the Or HaChaim says as follows, that a chaloim, a dream, a nevuah, as every experience in Yiddishkeit, cannot be done unilaterally. A chaloim needs the help of someone else. The Gemara says, ki kol ha-chaloim is holchem acha apeh, that a chaloim, a dream, needs interpretation from a second party. And therefore, Yosef, through approaching the Shvatim, was displaying his affection for the Shvatim. By approaching the Shvatim with the opportunity to interpret his dream, and the Gemara says that sheyeluch eitzel merachem alei v'yiftaren alei, that you should find someone who is a friend, who is an ally, who is endeared to you to interpret your dream. So he was looking to display his feeling of love and affection for the Shvatim. Because of their deep-rooted sinna, that was not what happened in the end. But Chazal are telling us something very important, and that is that even a chaloim needs the collaboration, needs the cooperation of a tzibur, of a second party. And when that happens, a concept becomes a reality. A concept can become a reality only through the hishtatfus, through the partnership of a klal. This Shabbos, the Shabbos of Chizuk, I believe, has not only served through Rabbi Spiro's words and inspiration to be a success already in the Chizuk that we're leaving the Shabbos with, but I believe in the same way that a friendship becomes a reality by me approaching you and asking you to interpret my dream, so too I believe that the tzibur has come together and has found definition in being able to arrange and bring this weekend together. And for me, that's a personal sense of nachas. People have stepped forward, have actualized potential that they may have known or may not have known that they possessed. And that, I believe, is a chizik that we should take from this Shabbos alongside the inspiration of Rabbi Spiro. So without further ado, I believe for the last time this weekend, I'd like to ask, we still have a few more hours before his plane takes off. I'd like to ask Rabbi Spiro to address us and to be mechazik us with giving us a send-off message for this weekend of chizik. Rabbi Spiro.
My mother would ask that I take off my hat, and so I will oblige. She's already insulted. She says, you didn't tell me you're going to Chicago. Then again, you don't have to say anything to me. She called my wife tonight, and she said, I didn't hear that he's going to Chicago. So if you see her, speak to my mother, please let her know that I was good. Even if you don't think so, but that's something you should do. I want to begin by thanking the Kehillah again, and specifically my host, Rabbi Yosef Knopf, who really went beyond the call of duty. And somebody once told me, to be machnas oirich is an art. And some people just have it. So I'll tell you the truth, I don't know how much effort he put in because it comes so naturally to him. So he and his wife, Yitzchak Hashem, should be zoichet to only have Yiddish and Nachas and Simcha in their home for many years to come. Amen. Also want to thank the Rav, my dear friend, Rabbi Scheinberg, and I have a great relationship, for many moons already, and I dare say I got a lot of nachas this weekend, watching him, watching his interaction with the Kehillah. I think that many Rabbonim would be very envious of the Kehillah that you have, and I think that many Kehillahs would be very envious of the Rav that you have. May you continue to have the Siyat Dishmaya to lead your Kehillah and to elevate together to reach higher and higher koiches in your Avodas Hashem.
Amen.
The most famous question in perhaps not only the Yontif of Chanukah, but maybe the most written about question in all of Torah is the Beis Yosef's Kasha. The Beis Yosef asks, why is it that Chanukah is 8 days, L'chayra the Nes was only for 7 days. The first day they had oil. So why is there a nace for 8 days? And there's literally thousands of answers given. This week I saw one that to me is the most meaningful answer I have seen yet. Ramchal Ber Weissmandel. And to appreciate his answer, you have to know who he was. More so than anybody else, any other Rav. He was the symbol of Jewish suffering in World War II. He was the one who cried and begged and bribed the Nazis to save Klal Yisrael. Went banging on the highest levels of government in Washington. And he indeed saved thousands of Jews, but he died a broken man as he did not save enough. Zotter Michal Ber Weissmandel. You think after the Hashmonaim were done with their battle, do you think that the natural reaction of a human being after he goes through a war is to sing out in praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. The natural reaction of a human being after a milchama is to curl up in a ball and lick your wounds. That Klal Yisrael was able to sing out Behalel Voidah after losing their friends, after losing their families, after losing Kemat, the entirety of the Jewish people, that is a miracle. And that's the miracle of Hanukkah. That a Yid is able to go beyond the norm, beyond what human emotion would normally dictate. That's the nes of Hanukkah. And tonight, I'd like to talk about we as a people, we as Yidin, we as a Kehillah, how we can go beyond what we think we're capable of. Chanukah is a combination of two words. Chanu Chof Hei. They rested on the 25th day of Kislev. But the word Chof Hei carries much more than just the numerical value of 25. It is the word Koi. And the word Koi in the Torah has tremendous meaning, such as Avraham Avinu is taken on an incredible ride, a magic carpet ride, above the stars to see what the Jewish people will be like. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, Vayomer ko yiyeh zaracho. Tzei achutza, go outside. Usvaras hakoychovim, see if you can count the stars. Tuchalim lisparei some, can you count them? Vayomer, and he says, ko yiyeh zaracho. There's not, he told him, go outside and see if you can count the stars. Vayomer, and he said, ko yiyeh zaracho. What happened between the first Vayomer and the second Vayomer? Says Meir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, who knows a thing of two of looking beyond. Says Meir Shapiro that the Rebbeinu Shalom told Avraham Avinu to go outside and count the stars, and that's what he did. And he went outside on a clear, dark night, we can imagine, and he started to count. One, two, three. But it's impossible. Koi yiyeh zarach. So too your children will be. They will be faced with insurmountable odds, impossible challenges. And they will attempt to do it and they will rise to the occasion. And then it's time to bring his son Yitzchak as a karbon. So he tells the two Na'arim, Shvulachem poyim achamor, stay here with the donkey. Vani vahanar nelcha ad koi. I and the lad, I and Yitzchak, we're going to go to koi. Dr. Rashi, I believe it is, ad koi yezarach. We're going to go to that level of impossible. How does a father take his child and bring him as a karma? It's impossible. Koi yezarach. Klal Yisrael will do the impossible. And in everybody's life, there's impossible things. It's impossible for people to wake up in the morning and learn. It's impossible. A person confided in me this weekend, he said, I'm not a morning person. Very hard for me to wake up in the morning and learn. But he knows, his kids are looking at him. He's got to rise to the occasion. I grew up in the Young Israel of Cleveland. I mentioned that this weekend. And before Daf HaYomi, before Daf HaYomi became popular, before Chavrusas, before Dirshu Kailin, before Kail Boikers, before all of it, there were well-meaning Balabatim who had very little education, very little Gemara background. One such individual in Cleveland, Ohio, was a Mr. Banchik, Mr. Sam Banchik. And Mr. Banchik was a very erlich yid, soft-spoken, gentle, sat at the corner table where I davened in fourth grade in the Young Israel of Cleveland morning minion. And my father tells me the story that Mr. Banchik didn't know how to learn. So what did the Balabatim do? They went to Rabbi Hildesheim's Gemara Shir. Rabbi Hildesheim was a war survivor and he taught in the academy, 8th grade Rebbe, but he also gave a shir. It was a very choshev Talmud Chacham. And so Mr. Banchik would go to the shir. And in those days, Balabatim didn't throw around a lot of money because nobody had a lot of money. So what did Mr. Banchik do? Normally people would give whatever money they had to my grandfather and his brother, and they would funnel the money to Rabbi Hildesheim in a bakovedik way, in an honorable way, to give him some money for the shir he gave in the morning. But Mr. Banchik had something else in mind. As a young man, he would bring, in the beginning of the winter months, a 50-pound bag of potatoes and a 50-pound bag of onions. And he would bring it to Rav Moshe Hildesheim as a yashakoyach, thank you for being my Rebbe. And years and years and years went by until Mr. Banchik became an old man. And he couldn't carry 50-pound bags anymore. And so one morning, in the beginning of the winter, old Mr. Banchik comes in to the Young Israel morning minyan shir with a 5-pound bag of potatoes and a 3-pound bag of onions. And he puts it down next to Moshe Hildesheim. And then he goes out and he brings in another 5-pound bag and another 3-pound bag of onions. 10 times. Because Mr. Banchik understood the ability of a Yid, even when it's difficult, to do what he can in small little bits and hope that all of it adds up to something meaningful. Reb Zundel Kreuzer, who just became known over the last few months, but he was a Kodesh Vitar that learned 18 hours a day, Tzadik Nifla. And Reb Zundel Kreuzer was approached by somebody who had a 38-year-old sister. And he said, Rebbe, I'm here as a shlichus for my father. He asked that I come in and I get a bracha for my sister. She's 38 years old. She needs a shidduch. So Reb Zundel said, you learn? He says, yeah, I learn. I want you to be mekabel upon yourself to learn a 1-minute seder. And ask your father and your brothers to do the same. Be mekabel upon themselves a 1-minute seder. Here's a man who's learned 18 hours a day for almost 90 years. He was mekabel. And 4 weeks later, she became a kala. Because 38-year-old girls don't become a kala unless you go beyond. You go beyond your limits. 1 more minute. A little bit beyond what you're capable of doing. Can't say I'm going to learn an extra hour a day because that will last maybe a day. Chaim Stein was my Masada Kedush in the Shiva Zuchani Levracha. And he asked me to be Mekabel under my chuppah an hour a day of learning for the rest of my life. He doesn't let you out of it. If he's Masada Kedush for you, doesn't let you out of it. And so I was Mekabel to learn an hour a day for the rest of my life. And it lasted me until the end of Sheva Brachas. And that's not bad. But a minute, I think I could have done. A minute. And you'll see if you start with a minute seder, before davening, a 1-minute seder. Sit down, it's a Dvar Musar, whether it's a Dvar Alocha, something. And go beyond. So it comes time for Yaakov Avinu to come into the picture. And he's marrying the daughters of Lavan. And Lavan comes And I don't know if you ever noticed this. Those of you that have married daughters, I imagine you might have learned the pasuk, maybe, maybe not. But it's not a super popular pasuk in the Torah. Lavan goes and gives a bracha to his daughters on the day of their chasana. This is, by the way, not like a medrash or a zayar. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And he says to his daughters, At hayi la'alfei rivava. You will become to the thousands and to the 10,000s. At hayi la'alfei rivava. Zokta balaturim, hayi is gematria koi. Koi yezarach. Even a loved one. I mentioned Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim asked the Kasha. We're learning about a father giving a bracha to his daughters on the day of their chasana. There's no better example than Lavan giving a bracha to his daughters. I believe he quotes the Zohar, the Svarnoi, or the way he read into the Svarnoi. But the Svarnoi says, it goes to show you that if somebody, even a Lavan Harasha, Lavan Harami, Lavan Bikesh Lakar Sakol, but if you sincerely love someone and you give them a bracha, the bracha will be mekuyim. The bracha will last. And he says to his children, you're going into Klal Yisrael. I'm not zoich to be part of that. But be great. Don't be satisfied with being marginal. Don't be satisfied with being plain. At hayi la'alfei rivava. It was a yid, Reb Avraham Genachovsky, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Chabin. And Reb Avraham, there's a sefer that came out called Vayomer Hineni. If you have a chance, buy the sefer. It's a beautiful sefer. And he was an incredible tzaddik and a great masmid. Reb Tzvi Einstatter in Neu Yisrael told me personally that he witnessed Reb Avraham Genachovsky walk into the Chabina Beis Medrash for 3 minutes and chazer 10 blot and walk out. Reb Avraham Genachovsky was a goy nifla, but that's not what I'm talking about. Reb Avraham Genachovsky was a young man living in Bnei Brak. And he's walking down the street one day and he hears crying. He hears a little kid crying. He hears little children crying. He's looking around and he sees that there's a window about 15 feet high. And he hears the crying coming from there. He's waiting and waiting. The crying is getting louder and louder. What does Reb Avraham, the Rosh Yeshiva, do? He goes home and he asks his wife, who has a ladder that I can borrow? Who has a ladder that I can borrow? Somebody have a ladder around here? She says, well, the neighbor has a machzan. Where are you going? And there's pictures in the book of Reb Avraham Genachovsky walk through the streets of Bnei Brak with a ladder. Sets up the ladder right outside the window, climbs to the top of the ladder. There's a picture of him sitting on top of the ladder. And he realized there's little children screaming. What happened? The mother must have thought that the children are sleeping. She's run out to the makolet. And he wanted to stop the children from screaming. So he reached into his pocket through the iron wrought bars and he handed the children some candies and began telling them stories. And he did it for an hour until the mother and father came home. They were terribly embarrassed, obviously, but that's not the point of the story. Sometimes there's a mesach hamavdil. There's iron bars between family members, between parents and children sometimes. You don't feel there's some way you can't get through to the silent cries and sometimes non-silent cries of your children. But if somebody is willing to go beyond, to never lose the hopes and dreams of At Hayila Alfei Rivova for our children. When a child is born, Nosson Tzvi Finkel said this over by my son Svi, who was almost 23 years old, said it over by his bris. He says, when a child is born, we say, Kishem Shenichmas Labris, can you connect the Torah L'chupa L'maisim Tovim? And the child, you have a child, and the child's a little baby, and I believe everybody in this room who's zoicha to have a child, you hold the baby in your hands, and you say, hey little guy, you're going to be something special one day. Listen here, you little princess, we have big hopes and dreams for you. And then all of a sudden the child's 1, 15 months, 18 months, and your neighbor's is toilet trained before yours, and you're wondering if your child's ever going to be toilet trained. And then the child goes to school and the olives and bases don't come so easily. You say, you know, you just hope that the kid's going to be okay and he'll be a normal kid. And then finally a bar bas mitzvah, the kid's an average kid. Nothing special. And by the bar mitzvah we get up, you should be an erlich hayid. Gets to his chasana, hey, you should be bayna bayis namizah. I thought you wanted him to be something very, very special. I had a chasana this past week of a Talmud of mine, very sobering. The Talmud was in my class, he was the most average kid. He wasn't average, he was below average. He was the kid that you didn't think much is going to happen with him. And I went to his chasana. For the last 10 years, every once in a while, we see each other. And then I don't know what happened. But somewhere along the way, he became a veltz choshev abach. He's moving to Eitz, so he's never coming back. He's sitting and learning 14 hours a day. And I came back to my manal and I said, we stopped dreaming for the kids. When they're in first grade, you hear the bereshis. They're singing it in the bathtub. And these little iron bars come between us and our children, or come between the dreams we have for our children. But Chanukah says, your children can be great. You can be great together with your children. Go beyond. And when it comes time for the Kohanim to give us a bracha, Koi Sivarchu es Bnei Yisrael. You give a bracha, Koi Sivarchu. The Kohanim have hopes and dreams for us. They have to bench us be'ahava. They don't just bench us. They bench us with love. They bench us with koi sevarchu. If your minig is to bench your children on a Friday night, is it, come here, come now, no, you, get over here now. Let me give you a bracha. Finally, it's a pasuk that we say every day, every Shabbos. Toshev enoish adaka vatoimer shuvu b'nei adam. Toshev enoish adaka. You reduce man to a pulp, azoi zokt art scroll. You reduce man adaka. Dalid chof aleph. I can't remember if I saw it anywhere, and if not, then I had siyat d'shmaya to think of it. Toshev enoish ad daka. Daka is weiter. 25, the gematria of Koyi Ezarach. Even when we are reduced to pulp, to nothing, downtrodden, broken, giving up hope on ourselves, don't be down on yourself. Grow. Don't give up. Let the candle flicker inside of you. You can be great. It's a mashpia in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Reb David Braverman. And Reb David was asked to give a shmooze in the yeshiva, and he walks into the yeshiva on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and there's singing and dancing going on. It's the most bizarre sight he's ever seen. So he goes over to yeshiva, he said, did you ask me to give a shmooze tonight? He goes, yeah. What's going on? He says, Let me tell you what happened. Last year, there was a boy in yeshiva. Nice boy. Good bacher. A terrible kaisen. He exploded all the time. And because of that, he lost friends, and because of that, people didn't want to learn with him. It was very hard for him. He was really a nice boy, but he had this one anger problem. And I called him in last year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I told him, I want you to know something. I believe in you. I believe that you can be someone who controls his temper. Here's what I want you to do. I have in my pocket an envelope of $500. It's my own money. It's not from yeshiva. I'm giving you the money in the envelope as a matana, because I know you're going to overcome that desire to lose your cool. Okay? We're not going to talk about it. You come back to me a year from now and you'll tell me that you were successful. Came over to me last night. And he was broken. And he has written on the envelope, "Dear Rebbe, thank you for trying, but I failed over and over and over again. Now I know I'll never be a success, but I'm happy you believed in me." He's crying bitterly. He says, "Rebbe, all the money's there. I failed time and time again." He says, "Really? How many times over the last year did you fail? How many times did you lose your cool?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "I don't believe that you don't know, because I believe you worked on it. So tell me, how many times did you lose your cool over the last year?" And he says, "I lost my cool 48 days of the year. 48 days, I exploded like a teapot." The Rebbe says to him, "Well, then, according to my cheshbon, that means that the other 317 days of the year, you did not lose your cool. Am I correct?" "Yeah." "So then we're going to celebrate the 317 victories that you had this past year. And with your rishus, I'm going to make a simcha tomorrow night in yeshiva on Erev Rosh Hashanah to celebrate what you accomplished." He says, "And that's what the singing and dancing is for. We're celebrating that he was successful those 317 days." It's very easy for people to think, "I am who I am. We are who we are." But it doesn't have to be that way. Chanukah tells us to go beyond. To grow as individuals, to grow as couples, to grow as parents, to grow as neighbors, to grow as a kehillah. We can go beyond. And I end with this. Recently, there was the 75th anniversary of the Kinder transport. The Kinder transport was when there were many, many children in countries such as Germany and Austria who they saved, Jewish children, by transporting them out of those Nazi-occupied countries and bringing them to safer havens such as England. And there was an interview on BBC Radio. And on BBC Radio, they interviewed a Kinder transport survivor, a man who's 87 years old. And they said to the fellow, tell us what it was like. He says, "I'm not going to tell you a story about myself. I want to tell you about my friend." He said, "I had a friend, and we would be taken from our homes, and we would be brought to an orphanage in England, and they would give us everything, toys and candies, anything they could, and we forgot about our parents very quickly. We adapted to our new surroundings. It was difficult, but we made it. One of my friends was inconsolable. He refused to stop crying, and they were going out of their minds. And they finally said, What is it that you want? We'll give you anything that you want as long as you stop crying. And he said, I only want one thing. Well, what is it? I want to see and meet the King of England. I said, that's all? You just want to meet the King of England and then you'll stop crying? Yes, promise. All right, but you have to prepare. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to prepare. You have to learn etiquette, how to talk, how to walk, how to act in front of the king. 3 weeks go by. And King George, who recently ascended to the throne after his brother left, decided that he wants to come through the villages and the hamlets to meet his subjects, to meet the people. And they're going through village to village. And this boy is brought to meet the king. But when he gets to the town square, he sees barricades blocking not only him, but everybody from meeting the king. And he realizes that he's been duped. He was told he's going to meet the King of England. He's not going to meet the king. He's going to see the king. Hey, Mr. King. And that's it. And he's devastated. So as the king's carriage comes by, this little boy decides he's going to do something about it. He jumps the barricade and runs towards the king's carriage. And the royal guard sees him. They pounce on him. They pummel him. And the king sees a tumult. He says, what's going on? So the little boy was coming to the... He says, a little boy! Bring him here into my carriage. And the king is sitting next to this little German boy in the carriage. He says to him, little boy, tell me, what is it that you want? So the boy starts to speak. He says, you're not from here. Who are you? He says, well, I was on the Kinder transport. I'm from Germany. He says, okay, so what is it that you want? I'm the King of England. I can do anything for you. He says, I want one thing. Anything, ask. I want my parents. King stops. He says, you want your parents? We're on the brink of war, young man. You said you're the king. You can do anything. I want my parents. The king says, we'll see what we can do. 2 days later, there's a knock on the orphanage. And the boy was reunited with his parents. And the man who's being interviewed with BBC Radio is crying bitterly. And he says, oh, I will never forgive myself. Why? It's a beautiful story. What's the problem? He says, why didn't I jump the barricade? Why didn't I approach the king? Why didn't I save my parents? And he continued to cry. Chanukah is a time, as we mentioned, Shalosh Shudas, when the king, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, comes to the underdog, comes all the way down to 3 tefachim below the ground. 3 tefachim from the ground. Anyone who wants to be with the king can have a private audience. Anybody who wants to jump the barricade can have a private audience. All we have to do is want. Yirotzen, may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Koyye Zaracha that burns inside each and every one of us, that the Koyye Zaracha of Chanukah will inspire us to be as great as the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to be. Thank you.